Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So on September 13th, so just about over 2 weeks ago now, the 2023 edition of the Guinness Book of World Records came out. And I'll admit, I kind of like seeing what some of these weird records are that people hold. For example, there's Scarlett Chang. She's 7 years old and lives in Hong Kong. And she holds the record for the world's largest collection of lip balms. She's seven, a first grader. She has a staggering 3,388 of them. There's also Nicolas Montes de Oca from Mexico, who set the world record for the longest duration to perform a single arm handstand at 1 minute 11 seconds. Or one of the grossest entries comes from Steve Warden, a barber over in Cambridge, Ohio. He made the record book for having the largest ball of human hair. He began saving the clippings in 2013 from his clients and put them in a giant ball. In 2018, his hairball went to Ripley's Believe It or Not. And now other people have just been donating their hair to him. You want to guess how big this thing is? It is 225 pounds. That's a lot of hair. People get in the record books for all sorts of strange stuff. Now, if you ever want to make it into the Guinness Book of World Records, you've got to make sure that your record abides by a few certain criteria. Your record has to be measurable, breakable, and verifiable, which makes sense, right? Because our society seems to be obsessed with things that are measurable and breakable and verifiable. Like we seem to measure success by how much money somebody has, or we measure importance by how many followers on social media somebody has, or we measure beauty by certain body measurements, right? That sort of thing, whatever. And if it's verified that somebody else beat your numbers, well, then they get the top spot and you get knocked down. Well, I say all of this about the world record book because I couldn't help but think of it when I read the gospel reading for today. Because it sounds like the disciples are trying to make it in the record book for having the most faith. They say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Almost as if it's, add more hair to our giant hairball. It's almost like they don't think they have enough and they want more, but why? Right? Why do they think they're lacking? I mean, wasn't the giant hairball big enough when it went to Ripley's, Believe It or Not? Well, in the previous passage, Jesus was talking about forgiving others. He said, "Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." That's why they want more faith. Because they, like we, know how hard it can be to forgive somebody. They think they can't forgive with the amount of faith that they have. So they need more. Which sort of makes sense, right? But then Jesus says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and it would obey. Now, most of the time, this verse is heard of in one of two ways. It's either heard as a rebuke from Jesus, as in, If you losers had just a teeny tiny amount of faith, then you could command this tree to move and it would obey you. You don't even have that much faith. Or it's heard as the opposite. It's heard as a word of encouragement. As if Jesus is saying, don't worry about the size of your faith. You have a tiny bit. And that is still enough to do great things in this world. Like move this tree. But you know, honestly, I don't think either of those works. Because I have never heard of anybody who can uproot a tree just by telling it to move. Even the most well-known Christians in the history of the church didn't have that kind of power. And I think that's precisely the point. Sometimes we, like those disciples, think that we need more faith. As if only people with a record-setting amount of faith can forgive others. Now, the whole point is that asking for more faith is just stupid. Jesus is exaggerating here. He's using hyperbole. So rather than saying a little bit of faith can move a tree, it's more like, if you want more faith, then that assumes faith can be measured. That there can be more of it or less of it. Well, if that's how you understand faith, then show me a little bit of it, and I'll show you a tree that can uproot itself and be tossed into the sea. In other words, it doesn't work that way. Like, how would some official from the Guinness Book of World Records measure it to see if you had a record-setting amount of faith? Could they count it like lip balms? Could they time it with a stopwatch like a one-armed handstand? Could they weigh it like a giant ball of human hair? Right? See, it's just ridiculous. You can't measure faith. So asking for more of it doesn't quite work. So then what is faith? All right, a lot of times we talk about faith as if it were a noun. Right, something you have, something you lose, something you can have more of or have less of. But I think what we really mean when we say we want more faith is we want more of those warm, fuzzy feelings of being close to God. Right? Like the disciples didn't feel like they could forgive someone over and over again. So they wanted to feel like they could. But the thing is, feelings come and go. Right? It's like being in love with someone. All of us like that excitement of being in love. We like that passion, that fire, those butterflies. But as we know, that honeymoon period doesn't last. Same thing with God. Sometimes you feel really close to God. Sometimes you feel really excited and you're on fire with the Holy Spirit. You feel so confident that you could take on the world. But then there are days you can barely get out of bed, let alone be excited about God. Right? Sometimes God feels really far away. But as I've said before, faith is not about how you feel. Instead, it means trusting God, even when you don't feel like it. Or Jesus put it a slightly different way. Faith is being obedient to God, even when you're not rewarded for it. Right? Immediately after the disciples ask for more faith, Jesus talks to them about slaves. And he basically says, you don't throw a big party for a slave who just did what he was supposed to do, right? So then why do you guys want me to congratulate you or give you some world record certificate? or give you some warm, fuzzy feelings just because you forgave somebody. Right? That's ridiculous. It doesn't work that way. Just go do it. Instead of asking for more faith or some kind of recognition, just say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. In other words, we are unreliable. Right? Our desire to forgive others comes and goes. Our willingness to serve our neighbor comes and goes. Right? We're all over the place here. But the good news is that Jesus is not. Jesus is firm and reliable and steadfast. In the midst of the chaos in our world and in our hearts, the cross still stands and the tomb is still empty. The fact that you don't feel Jesus right there with you doesn't mean that he's not still there with you. He is. He promises to be there with you. That's why we can do what he calls us to do. Because it's not about how reliable we are. It's about how trustworthy he is. We do it not always because we want to, but because he is our Savior and he deserves our obedience. All right, for example, Martin Luther once wrote, when a father goes ahead and washes diapers or performs some other menial task for his child, and someone ridicules him as an effeminate fool, God, with all of his angels and creatures, is smiling. There are days that you don't want to change the diapers or do the dishes or cut the grass. There are days that you don't want to give money or listen to somebody vent or pick up somebody else's socks from the floor. There are days that you just don't want to serve your neighbor. And on the days that you do serve, you kind of want somebody to appreciate you for it. But there is no gold star or trophy or certificate waiting for you. You don't always get those warm, fuzzy feelings either. Right? Jesus tells you to just do your job. And it is your job. You can't pass this on to the proverbial somebody else. Right? Nobody else can live the life of faith for you. You can't outsource this. You can't order it through a drive-thru window. You grow by doing it. Which means, yes, you can grow in faith. Just like how you grow in relationship with someone even after the honeymoon period is over. But it's you that's growing, not the faith. You grow when you see that all of your little menial tasks are actually faithful tasks. You grow when you forgive someone, even when you don't really want to. You grow when you're obedient to Jesus simply because he is your Savior. In other words, you've got the same faith that the Holy Spirit gave you in your baptism. Only you have grown in that faith because you've matured in your relationship with God. So, once again, Jesus turns our world around. And things look so much better. Because we don't need to compete or break records or worry about measuring up when it comes to faith. Because faith doesn't work that way. We already have faith. Or, better yet, faith already has us. Now we can just be the dutiful servants that Jesus has called us to be. And yes, we won't make any record books for it, but you know, that's okay. Jesus is still worthy of our obedience. And that's all that really counts anyway. So in the name of the faithful one whom we serve, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.